Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Today with us, we have a special treat, Mr. Cody Kraut of Greene County. Big hunter, man. Welcome, Cody.
Good to be here.
We found out this morning that it is 6'6" and a half.
It is tall. Yeah.
You're a very tall, athletic man. I have a feeling that that might help climb up in those trees, dude.
It does, yeah. You can get a lot higher with the climbing sticks, too. Space them out a little bit more. Doesn't work out as well for my brother-in-law if he's following me up a tree with a camera or I'm climbing up with him, but I space them a little bit too far for him.
I've had to deal with a little bit of that myself. So big into hunting, primarily whitetail.
Yep.
How'd you get into hunting?
That would be my dad.
Okay.
Growing up, he was a big bow hunter, started in the late 70s or 80s. And he would tell me that he would go hunting and leave me at home, and he would purposely make a big deal out of it because he wanted me to be into hunting. So he would leave me while I was crying, really wanting to go. And I remember I was 9 years old whenever he gave me my first compound bow.
Okay.
And so that was the first year I actually got to go out the door with him. And that year was actually Halloween 31st. I shot my first deer, and he was in the process of hanging a stand for me. So he was up in the tree on screw-in steps.
Yeah.
And the most clueless deer just came right up to us. And so he actually got to watch from the tree, looking over the shoulder, and he got to coach me through how to shoot as this fawn came up, and I shot it about 10 steps away. So that was a really cool moment that he got to be there for, and just been hooked ever since.
So I get that right. Your first time out,
Not the first time out. No, that was just my first deer.
Oh, okay.
There was a time before that where we had walkie talkies.
Yeah.
And we were actually in Pike County, and I had dropped my walkie talkie, but I was afraid to climb down because I didn't want to spook any deer.
Yeah.
And this was like the first time he ever let me hunt on my own, because he always wanted to sit with me.
Yeah.
Well, there was no communication. And so pretty soon I see him like sneaking through the woods coming my way. And I was like, oh, he's wanting to talk because I don't have my walkie talkie. So he's like pointing at it. So I pointed at the ground.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, my walkie talkie's down there. And he drops down to the ground and starts pointing behind me. And I stood up, and there was two deer came from behind me. And so in my mind, I was getting ready to shoot these deer. And then all of a sudden I hear a whack. And then they take off running. And I look over, and my dad's holding his bow without an arrow on it. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, that was going to be my first deer. And he said, you were taking too long. So
that's awesome.
So that was almost my first deer, but had to wait a little bit longer.
Oh, man. So you guys have been hunting together for a long time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Ever since I've been hunting.
Okay. And then with the archery and the whitetail, what other, you know, game has kind of evolved for you guys
lately? Coyote hunting. Okay. We've been diving pretty deep into coyote hunting starting about 4 years ago.
Okay.
We had been coyote hunting for a long time, just unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
Going out at night with the lights on your scope.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just got into thermal hunting, and mm-hmm. So I've been doing a lot more research and learning how to actually call coyotes and where to set up and stuff like that. And so, yeah, successfully hunting just about like the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely coyote hunting. That's our new thing.
It's wild how like all of a sudden you get there with a species. Now, sometimes when you start, it might be, you know, difficult figuring it out. And then once you seem to kind of get there and it's just interesting to me. You brought up earlier, you've done an antelope hunt.
Yes.
How did that work?
Not as well as I would like. So that was my first time ever going outside of Illinois hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to Nebraska,
okay,
right on the Wyoming line. And not knowing much about antelope other than I bought a decoy that would go on the front of my bow. So I'm thinking I can hold that up and they'll have no idea. It's not necessarily the case, but so the first several hunts there, it was, we'd see a pack or a bunch of antelope and we'd stop the truck and look and try to put together a plan. Well, then they're gone.
Yeah.
So doing that three or four times, it's like, okay, I think we probably shouldn't stop because they're pretty skittish. So then it got to be where we just kind of slow down. Well, then they're out of there.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until the last day I was just like, all right, let's just drop me off on this. We had there was a chunk, 1,000 acres. Mm-hmm. And I thought, drop me off here. And I've been looking at the maps and I was like, there's a high point. I can just kind of glass for a while, move and glass. So the last day of the hunt, they dropped me off and I went out, cause I was really wanting to do like spot and stalk and I was wanting to walk the country.
Yeah.
So we got out there, and I'm sitting up on this hill. I glassed for about an hour, never saw anything. So I moved a few hundred yards and I was there for about a half hour. And then this doe pops over the hill, like 60 yards from me. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I was not at all ready, cause I was just sitting there glassing everywhere else. And, it ended up, I got a shot at it at 70 yards and I had pulled back my bow and the nock popped off the arrow. Oh. And I have never had that happen before.
Yeah.
And so my nock was on the string. So I let down, put it back on, pull back, same thing happens. And so the third time when I'm pulling back, it sees me and I was like, okay, well, it's still standing there. And I shot and that thing was in Wyoming by the time the arrow got there. Oh, so yeah. that was my, so far, my only experience antelope hunting, but it really makes me want to go back and actually get one. It's a challenge.
Yes. I've done it one time. We were in Wyoming. I remember we were about an hour out of Sheridan. And a buddy of mine, his buddy he grew up with, now lives out there, works in an oil field. And so he's more of a pull up, hey kids, get out of the car or get out of the truck, you know, shoot. That took his kids hunting with rifles. That's yeah. about the extent of his, you know, overall hunting experience. And so we didn't know what we were getting into, but fortunately we had a big tract of land that was private that we had access to. And then he kind of was showing us where they're at. But again, just like you're saying with the bumped, you know, you pull up on them with a vehicle and you bump them, you're now hunting a bumped animal.
Yeah.
And it, once we kind of figured out there, it clicked for us a little bit. Man, that stuff is fun.
Yeah. And I was out there for about 2 hours before I had to Google how fast do antelope run. My goodness, they're not messing around. And that trip, it was also fun. We ended up with a total just knocking on doors because people hate antelopes out there.
Yeah,
and
they do.
They hate coyotes. And yeah. So we ended up with about 9,000 acres that we could do both on. So we were antelope hunting during the day and coyote hunting at night.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it was exhausting, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you've kind of begun to amass a pretty consistently successful archery season record going on. And you do a lot of filming and stuff like that. What are some of the kind of steps that you think you might have hit to where all of a sudden, hey, this has really clicked with the whitetail?
Yeah. Oh, so, I mean, whenever I started actually going like out on my own when my dad wasn't there, there was a lot of times I was just going out, getting up in a tree in a random spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's so many things that you learn along the way. Some things are simple, like, oh, wind direction. If the wind is blowing towards this bedding area, you're probably not going to have anything come out of there. But for me, what's been the most successful is utilizing like our Moultrie mobile cameras, trail cameras, and trying to identify those pinch points, the ideal food sources. And then, you know, depending on type of or what phase of the rut you're in, or where you are in the deer season, if it's late season, you know, you're going to want to be on those foods. So and if you're in like the pre-rut, those funnels are really tough to beat. So, that's been about the best strategy for me, is finding those funnels and just find those places where those deer just kind of pinch down. For example, like this year, the buck I killed, it was on a 4-acre patch of timber.
Mm-hmm.
But on a map, it lines up perfect because you've got big timber to the north and big timber to the south. And yeah. So if you have a northwest wind, you can slip in and out completely undetected and just, they funnel down nicely there to about 100-yard strip. And, I ended up shooting it on October 26th in the morning, just cruising, looking for does. So, but yeah, that's my go-to.
Okay. All right. And then when you are talking about, you know, that particular farm and, you know, the funnel that you found available on that, you know, how do you kind of break down a new property when you look at it? And what are some of the things that you're really kind of keying into or maybe some first steps when you start hunting a new property?
Yeah. So that property was way easier than most. So I'll go into kind of all other properties, but like on that one, like I said, it's so small. Really right there, the thought is first the wind, what wind can you hunt it on? And there's pretty limited choices. So, pretty much just found a tree where you can access it easy, kind of through a low spot, and you can cover as much ground as possible. So I found a few really good trails that were coming in and out of there. But for the most part, if I'm looking at a new property, first I'm going to look at like the food sources and figure out like if it's going to be corn or beans. And like scouted a property earlier this year, just about a month ago, that I was able to hunt late season and noticed there was a lot of corn on the ground. So that's one of those where you're like, okay, well, if I'm going to hunt this late season, this feels like the ideal food source. So I felt like there was going to be a lot of deer, and hunting it, there were a lot of deer in the field. Unfortunately, the buck that I was after was a few hundred yards away, but yeah, other than that, getting on those maps and trying to identify those funnels. If there's a river bottom with a big hill next to it or a cliff, you know, might pinch them down. But nothing really beats putting boots on the ground and actually getting in there and looking for that fresh sign, rubs, scrapes, kind of be able to find those thick areas where you think they'll be bedded.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to take a second and get a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, coming from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. With us, we have Cody Kraut. And we were just talking about bow hunting whitetails and, you know, how we kind of look at how Cody looks at a farm, a new property, you know, looking at funnels, food, boots on the ground. And, you know, Cody, as a follow-up to that, how likely are you to kind of, when you look at a new property, go out and find sign and hang on it? Or is it more kind of step back and look at the, you know, trail camera opportunities? What do you really dictates how you're going to get your first hunt out there?
Yeah. So for the most part, a lot of the sign that you're seeing, I'm not a big, go hunt over, like find a scrape, go sit over it. Now I am a big into making mock scrapes.
Okay.
And I do that to put my cameras on top of, and that's more so just give you an idea of what's moving through there. And if a buck finds it, like if you're put it on a creek crossing, if a buck finds it once, next time he crosses the creek, if he crosses it 30 yards further down, there's a chance or a better chance that he's going to come over just to be like, okay, let's go check this out. But for the most part, if I just see fresh rubs and scrapes, I'm not necessarily going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to hunt right here. All that's really telling me is that there is deer in the area and they've been there recently. So, what I would prefer to do is try to like find those bedding areas. And I'm kind of assuming like it's like the pre-rut phase or something. So yeah. I'm wanting to identify those bedding areas and then try to get on the downwind side of those for whenever those bucks are going in and out to look for their does.
Okay. All right. one thing that I've noticed talking to you about whitetail, and we've talked, you know, pretty in depth, you know, not in here today, but, you know, just overall, is the way that you perceive deer is unique to a lot of hunters. You know, being an outfitter, we see a lot of different hunters come into camp. And I know myself personally, I call them superstitions. I started calling most strategies superstitions, you know, whether it be a cover scent or anything, because it seems like we all have some bag of tricks or superstitions in our book, you know, in our bags. And, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And that's just kind of what I've begun to call them. Either way, I myself, and I notice a lot of hunters are very superstitious about when a deer may or may not catch on to you. And from your story earlier, I can really tell maybe some of those early instances where you were in a tree stand and your dad was coming to you, you know, because you dropped the walkie-talkie and he wanted to check on you and he shot a deer and you got to watch it, you know, and then vice versa, your dad's hanging the stand and your first deer comes in and you shot it off the ground. First deer off the ground.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me, you know, do you kind of notice that you view deer behavior and, you know, the ability to get on to a deer differently than most other hunters that you talk about or talk to?
I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I mean, as far as, like you mentioned, deer getting onto you, like, I assume you mean as far as like
moving.
Okay.
Talking. Yeah. Like just different aspects to it.
And I get that because like also I'm filming my hunts too. So I've got quite a bit of gear in the tree with me and I'm moving that camera arm around. The deer are definitely, they pick up movement pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I am always being very careful about my movements. But like the one that, my dad watched me shoot my first deer. I think what had happened there, whenever we walked in, we busted out a lot of deer.
Okay.
And then I think this was just a fawn that took a wrong turn and was trying to get back. And like, it was just a little button buck. And so I think it was just heard some noise and thought mom and just came over. And unfortunately it was me standing there.
Well, I mean, so Nick, who, I know you've had a chance to meet one of our hunters from Michigan. Yeah. He has permission in Michigan to hunt on a farmer's ground. And so he was out setting up the farmer's blind for him. The picture I have in my head is this, you know, farmer might be a little bit older, might be, you know, anyways, Nick was helping him get the setup. Nick is putting his ground blind up. I'm assuming scraping the leaves in the bottom once the blind is up. Pokes his head out the blind and his target buck is like 40 yards away. And again, come into the leaf noise and stuff like that. But, you know, it just appears that you have a confidence to be able to get in. I mean, let's spend a couple minutes on this. When you go into film, like some of the steps, you got to put your steps. You're doing often a saddle hunt.
Yep.
So you got to get your saddle rig set up. Tell a little bit about this because I know a little bit about it, but I mean, various GoPros.
Oh, yeah.
How many do you do?
Oh, goodness. So this year, I was running about five GoPros, and that's mainly because I'm a filming addict. I'm nowhere close to recovery, but so my GoPros there, I've got, two on each side of the tree facing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have one on the shade of my main camera.
Yeah.
And that's just in case if a deer walks out of frame, I can still have that wide angle GoPro to get the shot on camera. And then I would have one fourth arrow makes what they call an outreach arm. And it goes, you attach it to the tree, or I do, I attach it above my head and it shoots out about 6 foot in front of me and then it points back at me. So I can get that wide, first, or like a really good angle, that shows like the entire hunter, the entire stand, saddle, whatever it is. And I just like that too, because like whenever you are like editing a hunt, like it really helps show like what exactly the hunter is going through. So I've always liked that. So I added that to my arsenal. And then I have one other camera, and I will just, wherever I am, the most convenient spot, I'll just hang that extra camera. So yeah, I had five with me for the most part this year. But yeah, whenever I'm going hunting, if I'm doing a hanging hunt, I am 95% of the time I'm going to be in my saddle. And that's because, you know, it's lightweight and they're very versatile. I mean, you can get in, just about any tree with them. So yeah, whenever I go out, I've got my, climbing sticks. I've got the saddle already around me. And then I've got that fourth arrow camera arm that holds my main camera. I've got all my GoPros with me. So it's a lot that I take to the stand, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay. So then here you are, you gotta, you know, access is always the first step in approaching any setup. Then you get there to the tree and you gotta quietly hang your setup and then get up there. And then you gotta hang five GoPros and you got to turn them all on.
Yeah. Which I use a remote to turn them on. So okay. I cheat there. So
okay.
I've got
all right.
I've on top of my camera, I'll have a little remote, that I can just like, as I'm zooming in and out on my main camera, I can just hit record and then they'll just all pop on and start recording.
Okay. So,
it's not like I'm hanging off the tree, turn them all on individually.
Okay. So either way, five GoPros, you got your camera arm, which can be kind of a pain in the butt depending on your setup.
Yeah.
I've experienced that enough to know. Then, so you have to do all this without being seen. So you have to have some level of confidence that I can move right now, or you have just less, you know, cares to give. You say, is it all right if I get busted moving now? I mean, I had to get set up, or do you, what's your mental thought on that?
Sure. Yeah. So, a good example would be just, last weekend of deer season. It kind of varies throughout the year. So like whenever I shot my buck earlier this year, that's a stand that's already, I've got a hang on stand set up there and there was enough leaf cover. I'm not real concerned. So I'm always moving slowly, but, I'm not too concerned that I'm going to get seen in that particular real brushy area.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see real far. Like my farthest shot was 30 yards and that's where that buck ended up being. But for instance, like this year, last weekend, where I was hunting, all the leaves are off, snow's on the ground, and the spot that I was wanting to get to where I expected this buck to come out, I assumed that they were going to be bedded pretty close to the that field where he had been popping out. So it took me, I timed it, was like an hour and 50 minutes by the time I was about 30 yards from the tree to whenever I was all the way up. And that's not because it just took me that long. I was moving incredibly slow, just trying to be very cautious. And while I was hanging my climbing sticks and I was halfway up, I looked over and I could see there was a doe bedded about 100 yards just inside the woods. So that was one of those times where I went in early. So I was hoping that they weren't going to be up on their feet yet. And like I said, just, I had to have looked like a sloth going up that tree. And I mean, a lot of stuff I have to do in that hour and 50 minutes. So hanging the climbing sticks incredibly slowly. And then I've got, whenever I am climbing a tree, I'll hang the first two climbing sticks from the ground and then I'll attach the other two, to my belt. And then I'll have my pack on and then I've got a pull up rope I'll attach to my belt. That way, once my feet leaves the ground, I just have to keep going up and I don't have to keep going back up and down. So I am definitely wary of the motion, but then like you said, like the Nick hunt where he was cleaning out leaves, that can be beneficial too, because I've got one hunt, this was in Calhoun County. I got out, and it was about 12:30 in the afternoon, and I picked out this tree, just looking at maps, picked a random spot, went in, and there was so much buck brush around the bottom of this tree, and so I'm doing my best to be as quiet as possible, and I'm trying to get up there, and the buck brush was just killing me, and eventually I got so frustrated, I just started snapping it, and I just got it to where it was completely out of the way, and then it was just like, heck with this, and I just got up the tree as fast as I could. Well, as soon as I got on my platform, I heard something, I looked over, and then here was a big buck, and he had just came out of this real thick area, and he was just kind of looking down into this bottom like, who the heck is in here? This is my territory is what it looked like. So I froze, and then he just put his head down and started coming, and I was like, oh my goodness. And so I ended up, my bow was still on the ground, so I pulled it up as fast as I could, knocked an arrow, and by the time I pulled back, he was about 7 steps and killed him. So that was one of those, he may have come over anyway, but it was whenever I was just like, heck with this, I'm already over this hunt, and just started making a bunch of noise, and then he had to have thought it was another buck that was raking on some buck brush, but yeah, he came right into it.
Man, that's awesome. All right, well, that's about the time we have for right now. I appreciate you coming here. If you could give everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so on Instagram, Cody Kraut, CodyKraut, and it's the same on Facebook, but I'm definitely more active on Instagram.
All right, well, thanks again, man.
Yep, absolutely.